That's the ensemble of Johan Johansson, Icelandic composer, recorded in concert at Le Poisson Rouge here in New York City. I'm David Garland, and this is Spinning on Air. And I have that concert to share with you tonight on the program. It's been great to be able to have our microphones at Le Poisson Rouge, or LPR as it's known, and to be able to bring you this concert by Johan Johansson. He first visited the program back in 2003, and I've been interested to follow the music that he's been making since then. It balances things interestingly, acoustic and electronic, synthetic and organic, and it brings these supposedly contradictory elements together into music that's sort of romantically rhapsodic, emotionally moving, and plain old beautiful. I asked Johan Johansson to describe his ensemble's setup on the stage of Le Poisson Rouge.
We're a six-piece ensemble. It's a string quartet, which is kind of the core of the band. And by the way, the string quartet is members of the ACME ensemble, local New York musicians. So a string quartet in the middle, and on one side there's Matthias Hemstock, who's a long-time collaborator of mine, and he plays percussion and electronics and kind of loops and processes live percussion and works with various electronic sounds as well, drum machines and percussion and sort of textural material. And on the other side of the quartet, I'm playing piano mostly and some keyboards and some electronics as well. We're playing some pieces from the last few records. There's some stuff from the Englaborn album, there's some stuff from IBM, some stuff from Fortlandia, and then I'm playing several new pieces which are not out yet and which have not been released. Some of them are actually from film soundtracks that I've been working on, and some of them are just ideas that are, you know, maybe material for the next album or something like that.
In addition to the instrumental setup that Johan Johansson just described, the presentation at LPR involved the projection of some films of slow-motion industrial scenes, others images that aren't so easily discernible, things that just sort of added a visual element to the presentation and certainly added to the mood and feel of the performance. So here's music by Johan Johansson, recorded live at LPR. You're on Spinning on Air.
Thank you.
Icelandic composer Johan Johansson and his ensemble in performance at Le Poisson Rouge here in New York City, recorded on April 30th, 2010, as part of their American tour. I'm David Garland, and this is Spinning on Air. I asked Johan Johansson what effect he hopes his music has on his audience.
I think it's probably something quite visceral, which I'm after, you know. Something very down in the, you know, in the stomach, in the blood, you know, with the emotions. And that's where the music comes from, in a way. And that's where, you know, great music hits me, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's how I try to approach it.
So even more important than a sense of beauty is the sense of emotional impact?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's very important. And sort of something that... yeah, it has an almost physical effect on you.
Composer Johan Johansson. We're going to hear more of his concert at Le Poisson Rouge as Spinning on Air continues right here on 93.9 FM, WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm David Garland. This is Spinning on Air. Let's continue with our concert featuring the music of Johan Johansson. Johansson played piano and some electronics and organ. Matthias Hemstock played electronics and percussion, and they're heard with the string quartet of ACME, the American Contemporary Music Ensemble, a group based here in New York. The piece the ensemble's going to play next is called Miracle, Mystery, and Authority. In performance at Le Poisson Rouge in New York City, Johan Johansson and his ensemble. Johansson's music often seems to tell a story, and usually there is a specific story underlying the music. We're going to hear next an excerpt from a large piece called Fordlandia, and I asked Johansson about it.
I read an article about Fordlandia a few years ago, about this colony that was founded in the 1910s and 20s by Henry Ford in the Amazon jungle, and he wanted to basically set up his own rubber production, you know, plant rubber trees and produce rubber, because that was a very sought-after commodity in those days, and obviously for his cars he needed a lot of rubber, and the British controlled the rubber trade in that day, so he wanted access to cheaper rubber. And so the plan was to set up this rubber production facility over there, and they basically created their own patch of America in the middle of the Amazon jungle, complete with fences and churches. So it was this little utopia that was created there, and I guess this was sort of an early example of outsourcing of this kind of, you know, moving the production, you know, out of the country. And the problem was that the local workers who were hired to work for Ford kind of rebelled against the regime, and probably the attempts at kind of enforcing a foreign culture and a foreign ways of working, foreign ways of you know, I mean, it forbade alcohol, for example, and there was prohibition there, and there was kind of there were some cultural clashes going on. So this finally never worked out as planned, and it was known as Ford's Folly, basically, this whole project. But it still exists there, and it's still almost 100 years later. It's there, the houses are there, and you can still see the presence. And something about this idea, you know, reminded me of the great Herzog film, Fitzcarraldo, this idea of transplanting, you know, Western culture into the, you know, heart of darkness.
He's the one who wanted to build an opera house on the Amazon.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Yeah. And so there was something very Herzogian about this, which I really liked, and this idea of a grand failure in a way. There was something about this story that, you know, resonated in many ways with me, and I thought it would be a good basis for an album and a good frame to work within.
You know. How did that story lead you to music?
I mean, music is what I do, and, you know, I don't write articles, and I don't paint paintings or make movies. So it's, you know, I guess this is, you know, this is my way of working with that. You know.
Mm. It's a piece with interesting textures. You know, to know that it was inspired by this story of sort of failed and boneheaded colonization. Some other composer might use portions of the orchestra to represent the American aggression into the Amazon, you know, native flutes to represent the Amazon. There'd just be so many different approaches, generally based on conflict, representing the elements of the conflict in the story.
Mm.
But you wrote a sort of mournful elegy.
Mm. I think it's not really so political in my mind. It's not anti-American. It's not anti-Ford, you know. I mean, I think Ford did probably amazing things for society, you know, in terms of mass production but for me it was kind of more this sort of doomed this is why maybe kind of I felt the need to use like a reference to Pan in there, because there's a piece which uses an old poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning, which is about the death of Pan, and it's a funeral for something. It's a requiem for something that is dying and something that is taking over, you know. And I don't know if the conflict is nature and industrialization or if it's paganism and Christianity. And Browning's poem is very much about, you know, when paganism died and Christianity took over, and the cry was, "The great god Pan is dead." So maybe it's that, you know. That's maybe the conflict, you know.
Hmm. It's interesting because this potential conflict of the natural and the industrial is something that, in my experience, you've been sort of reconciling. You've been finding common ground in your music. Even Engleborn, the first album, as you mentioned, has a sort of mechanized or computerized singing voice,
mm-hmm.
accompanied by acoustic instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still exploring, even in the concert, which combines a string quartet with a couple different sources of electronics. You're combining the sort of industrial and natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very interested in this conflict, you know, and in finding ways of reconciling them and maybe not reconciling, you know, because often great things come from the clash of these things, you know, and I'm interested in those areas where they clash and where they kind of have this little, you know, set in common, you know, that can contain amazing things.
I'm speaking with Johan Johansson. I'm David Garland, and you're listening to Spinning on Air. Thanks for being with me again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
In the background, we're hearing music from the album Fordlandia. Now let's continue with our Poisson Rouge concert by Johan Johansson and his ensemble, as they play a portion from Fordlandia called Aerial View. the audience at Le Poisson Rouge responding warmly to a piece that was probably familiar to them, Odi et Amo, from Johan Johansson's first album, Engleborn. It was performed live at Le Poisson Rouge by Johansson with his ensemble. I'm David Garland. This is Spinning on Air. We'll have more from this concert in just a moment on 93.9 WNYC and WNYC.org. This is Spinning on Air. We're listening to a concert by Johan Johansson and his ensemble. Johansson playing the piano, electric organ, and electronics. Matthias Hemstock playing percussion and electronics. And the strings are played by members of ACME, Klaris Jensen, Yuki Namata, Ben Russell, and Tarn Travers. LPR's technical director is Richie Clark. And thanks to Adam Baker, who let me put some of his photos of the concert on our website, wnyc.org. This concert broadcast has been edited and mixed by me. I'm David Garland. And I asked composer Johan Johansson about his use of musical narratives.
I very rarely sort of write absolute pure music, you know, music that is just purely abstract. I mean, I always have to have some sort of anchor, some sort of structure or some sort of narrative, some sort of frame that kind of drives it, you know, and to finish and to structure the piece, I have to have some sort of narrative almost, you know, and which can be very abstract. It's not storytelling, you know, but it has to have this kind of frame for me. And some of my albums have their origins in other media. For example, my first album, Engleborn, was originally a score for a play, and IBM 1401 was written as music for a dance performance. But the albums are separate pieces, and they're separate entities. And when I'm doing the albums, they have laws of their own, and you know, they're not simply a collection of cues or collection of things that were presented, you know, with his play. I try to make them stand alone as pieces that work as just music.
Composer Johan Johansson. Here are the final two encore pieces from his concert, April 30th, at Le Poisson Rouge. Johan Johansson and Ensemble performing at Le Poisson Rouge in New York City. The concert recording made April 30th, 2010. Johansson has given permission for us to make this available to you as a free download. So just find the Spinning On Air page for tonight's program at our website, wnyc.org. You can use the show's menu to find Spinning On Air if it's not right there on the homepage. So you're welcome to download the program and listen again at your convenience. Thanks for listening tonight. I'm David Garland. This is Spinning On Air. ¶¶